Well, let's open our Bibles to Psalm 121. Today, I'm beginning a new series, and I'll tell you about that in just a moment. But I just want to say how thankful I am to be able to stand here today and to hold out the hope of God's Word to us in a world that is racked with terror. You know, the events over the weekend in Paris, and some of you know that before that there was a bombing in Beirut, Lebanon, and scores of people were killed, 150 or so killed in Paris, and we live in a world that is filled with so much fear. But I'm so thankful that as the people of God, we have the Word of God with hundreds of promises that simply say, fear not. And so Psalm 121, where we're beginning today, is a particularly appropriate in this season. And just follow along as I read. You read this passage earlier, I know, in the service, but let me read it again just to get us started. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. I was at the mall a couple of weeks ago, and I was shocked to find, I mean, this is just not even a week past Halloween, I was shocked that they had already had the display set up where children were coming to get their picture made with Santa. I mean, and that we're at that point weeks away from Thanksgiving. It reminded me of a cartoon I saw recently where there's this family sitting down to their Thanksgiving meal, and there's Santa looking in the window with a sign, only 28 shopping days left until Christmas. And the dad is saying, could we at least finish our Thanksgiving dinner first? And the fact is that we are entering into what may be the most stressful and depressing time of the year for many Americans. Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's, three holidays that come one after the other. And maybe you're already feeling stressed. Nan has already had me up in the attic bringing Christmas decorations down. But I'm thankful to know that our spiritual ancestors, the Old Testament people of God, they also had holidays or festivals, but they didn't call them holidays. They were holy days. They were days, there were seasons for them to return to their spiritual roots, to reconnect with the Lord, and to worship Him in wholehearted passion. And so we're going to learn from them because, as a matter of fact, we have holiday music. You know that the Israelites, the Jews, also had songs that they sang for their holidays, their holy days. And we have them collected here in the book of Psalms. They're called the Psalms of Ascent. There are 15 of them between Psalm 120 and Psalm 134. They are called Psalms of Ascent because likely they were sung by the people of God as they were ascending up the highway toward Jerusalem, which is one of the highest places in Israel. And so as they made their way up for these holy days, they would likely sing these psalms, psalms of ascent. But they were not only psalms of physical ascent, but they were also psalms of spiritual ascent, because as they sang these songs, they were preparing themselves to enter into the temple to worship. And so I thought it would be a great thing for us to do this holiday season, is to just let our brothers and sisters from the Old Testament remind us of what we need to do to reconnect with God and to stay focused on Him, to make our holidays truly holy days, that we can step up and press in and not let this season do what it does to us so many times, is to get us, to make us just crazy. We can focus on the Lord. Now, there are 15 of these psalms, as I said, starting with Psalm 120, and I plan to preach on 7 of them between now and the end of the year. But what you can do in the meantime is, I'd like to suggest to you that you read you read one a day between now and the end of the year, depending on how many times, how many days of the week you have your quiet time. But you can read through at least a couple of times between now and the end of the year as we prepare ourselves. Now, you'll notice that there's an inscription over each of these psalms, beginning in Psalm 120, that says songs of ascent. Songs of ascent. And some of them, if you just peek ahead, for instance, in Psalm 122, it says it's of David. Some of them say of Solomon. Most of them are just anonymous, including Psalm 121 that we have before us today. Now, technically speaking, I know that the psalmist didn't have a clue about our Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. But he did have a clue of the distractions that people carry to worship. And you'll find that these psalms are not so much exalted psalms of praise to God per se, though there's praise and thanksgiving included all the way through. You're going to find that the psalmist just pouring out his heart to the Lord. He's got distractions that he's dealing with on his way to Jerusalem, to the temple of God where he will worship. And you and I have distractions that we have to deal with all of the time. Not just in seasons of festivities, but we also deal with it every Sunday when we come to church. For example, here in Psalm 121, the psalmist is going through some kind of trouble, some kind of trial, and he asks himself a question. He says in verse 1, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from?" Something is troubling his heart. He needs help, and he's looking up. And I believe that he's looking up to the hills of Jerusalem. Remember that Jerusalem is one of the most elevated parts of Israel. It's in the hill. It's up in the hills. And so he's looking up there because he's on his way to Jerusalem, and he knows there in Jerusalem, there's the temple, and that's where he's going to meet the Lord. And so he's asking himself the question, where will I go to meet the Lord? Where does my help come from? And you know, troubles don't take a vacation during the holidays, do they? You still have to go for cancer treatments. You still have to go to jobs where there's pressure. You still have to figure out how to pay your bills. Troubles don't go away during the holidays. They don't go away on Sundays, do they? Many of you came to church today with your heart troubled for something. We ask the question with the psalmist, where does my help come from? Who will help me through this trial? You know, I went to Home Depot a few weeks ago to pick up something. I can't remember what it was now I was looking for, but when I walked into the door, there was a very kind lady there who welcomed me and said, "May I help you find something?" I said, "No, thank you, I'm good." Knowing full well that I did not have a clue where to find what I had come to purchase that day. And so I took the next several minutes roaming from aisle to aisle, and maybe it was just the thrill of the chase, I don't know, but roaming from aisle to aisle trying to find this thing that I came to purchase, all because I was too proud to simply admit, hey, I don't know where this is. I do need some help. And that's true for us, isn't it? The psalmist is saying, where does my help come from? He's looking up. And so often we try to solve our own problems, don't we? And there's some things that we can fix on our own, but our biggest problem is our sin problem. Our biggest trouble is our sin problem. And friends, we can't fix that ourselves. You can't, there's no do-it-yourself, there's no DIY salvation. Our big trouble is our sin problem, and that's why God sent Jesus. We can't solve that problem. We need him to fix that for us. And so the psalm begins with a question. Where does my help come from? And the answer to that question is found in the rest of the psalm, beginning in verse 2, where he says there, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Now, I want you to see this morning that, first of all, this help is personal. It comes from a person. It comes from the Lord, he says. Now, there are two wonderful names of God here in Psalm 121, verse 2, that I want you to latch on to. You notice, first of all, he is called the Lord. The Lord. Now, in most translations of the Bible, you will find that that word Lord is in all caps, L-O-R-D, all caps. Now, whenever you see that reading in the Old Testament, pay attention, because it's there on purpose. It is because that is referring to the Hebrew name for God that we call Yahweh, Yahweh. It's the covenant name of God. For instance, when God sent Moses to Egypt to lead the people of God out of bondage there, he said, Moses, I want you to introduce me to the Israelites by this name. It's this name. It is I am. Or, I am who I am. Now, that may seem like an odd name for someone to come up to you and introduce themselves. My name is I am. But this is the covenant name of God, and it is entirely appropriate for God to be called by that name. It simply means that God is, that he exists. He never had a beginning. He simply is and always was and always will be. There was never a time that he started to be. He is. He is completely independent. He doesn't depend on anyone or anything for his existence or for his support. That's why he can say, I am. It is a statement of his complete sufficiency in himself. That's in contrast to us, where we are completely dependent upon him for everything. Everything depends upon God. He's constant. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not becoming anything. He always does as he pleases. And what he pleases is always right and good and true. And that's what's in this name, the Lord. Now, let me just say that if we are careful in our study of the Psalms of Ascent, there are going to be places where we see Jesus. There are going to be some Jesus sightings. And this is one of them, if we look carefully. Now, obviously, the psalmist had no idea that this was the case, but whatever he was longing for in his soul that made him want to get to the temple and meet God there, whatever was in his heart in the way of longing for the temple, we know today has been completely fulfilled in Jesus. And this is beautiful. All of it that he was longing for is fulfilled in Jesus. He didn't know it, but we know it, because when we read the New Testament interprets the Psalms in these ways. And so Jesus, God's Son, took on a human body. He came to this earth. And so when we saw Jesus, we saw the Lord. We saw Yahweh, the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life, and over again. And that's why Paul would say, this is personal. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. How? By Christ Jesus. That's why Paul would say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It's personal. So what is it that calms our fears? It is that the Lord is with us. But there's a second name here. He is called the maker of heaven and earth. Do you see that there in verse 2? He's the maker of heaven and earth. He is the one who created everything, the vast universe, the planets, the stars, the moon, the complexities of all of nature. He formed your body in your mother's womb, and he instructs your organs how they are supposed to function. He is the maker of heaven and earth. And so what is it that calms our fears and encourages us in our difficulties and troubles? The maker of heaven and earth is our helper. Can you imagine anything that is a problem for the maker of the heavens and the earth? Can you imagine any problem that cannot be solved by the one who said, "Let there be light," and there was light? That's what the psalmist wants us to know here today. He's the Lord. He's the maker of heaven and earth. And again, God revealed himself in a human body in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. So Jesus was with the Father when God made all of this. So he is the maker of heaven and earth as well. He takes on a human body. What does he do? He comes to this earth and he calms storms. He just speaks and thunderstorms whimper away. He heals human bodies. He raises dead people. He is the maker of heaven and earth. And this is God's personal care for you personally. Here in the remainder of this psalm, when the word "you" is found, it is always in the singular. The psalmist is speaking to himself here. This is personal for him. He's speaking to himself about all that the Lord does for him as the maker of heaven and earth. So it's personal, but it's also practical. It's practical. The Lord is practically involved in all of the big and the little details of our lives. Maybe you picked up on the fact that as we read these verses, do you see the word "watch" that is there repeated over and over again? Watch or watches. In the Hebrew, it's repeated 6 different times. Your translation may use the word "keep." This is the picture. It's a powerful word. It's a picture of God standing guard over his people. He's like a secret service agent who is watching the president of the United States. He sees everything. He's watching every detail to protect you. He's got you covered. And there are 3 different ways that I see here that this help is expressed to us. First of all, the Lord is our safety. The Lord is our safety. The one that we look up to is the one who is watching over us. The God that we cannot see sees us. He is our safety. Verses 3 and 4, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. He's repeating himself over and over again. Now, you and I need sleep, don't we? And we sleep several hours a day. And during the time when we're asleep, we're basically out of commission, aren't we? We're not conscious of what's going on around us. And yet we are able to sleep because he never sleeps. That we are able to rest because the God who is watching over us never rests. And he hears our cry. He hears our cries when we cry out to him for help. Now, parents, you understand this. There are a lot of noises that you can sleep through, but I would dare say that one of them is not the cries of your children. You hear the cry of your child and you sit up instantly in bed When you hear a thud, you sit up thinking they fell out of the bed. You hear a cough, you're wondering if they're throwing up somewhere. I mean, that's just what parents live with. You are attentive to the noises that your children make. You're attentive to their cries. The difference is with God is that He never sleeps. We don't have to be awakened. He is always alert. The reason that you and I can go off to sleep at night is because He never sleeps. The reason you can close your eyes and slip from the consciousness of your troubles for a time is because God never sleeps. He's thinking about you and watching over you every minute. He never rests from caring for your safety. And this is true, not just physically, but it's true spiritually. This is what the Bible refers to as our salvation in the New Testament. It calls us our Sabbath rest. That is that we can rest from trying to save ourselves or keep ourselves saved because God never rests. He is working in us, working for us every second of every day. And even when we don't have the strength to hold on to Him, He's holding on to us. Amen. And so He is our safety. We're kept by Him. In fact, Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 1, 4 and 5. He says, we have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last times. Threats are going to come, yes. We're going to have trouble. But we are never in ultimate danger because the Lord is watching over us. He is our safety. There's another practical way that this help comes to us, and that is the Lord is our shelter. He is our shelter. Look at verses 5 and 6. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. This may be hard for us to comprehend, because the fact is that most of us are not exposed to extremes like this. We live in heated and air-conditioned homes. We ride around in heated and air-conditioned cars. We have systems, security systems that protect us, and at least we think they do. We're not exposed to extremes like these pilgrims were. As they traveled up to Jerusalem for the festivals, they were most of the time on foot. Some of them would travel for days to get to Jerusalem. They experienced the heat of the day. And they knew the dangers of being exposed to the sun for lengthy periods of time. They knew the dangers that lurked at night. The dangers of criminals that would rob them and wild animals that could attack them. By the way, there's some speculation that the psalmist here is referring to the belief that the moon made people crazy. You know, the word lunatic comes from our word lunar, and there was some speculation, perhaps a superstition in their minds that the moon made people crazy. But whatever the case, the people of God don't have to fear that because the Lord is their shelter. And you know, I'm reminded over and over again of how vulnerable we are as human beings. As much as we try to protect ourselves, and as much as we try to keep ourselves healthy, the fact is that we are human beings living in a fallen world, and we are all vulnerable. And that's why we have to continuously look to the Lord to be our shelter. In fact, the psalmist said in Psalm 91:1, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow or the shade of the Almighty. So the Lord is our safety, He is our shelter, but also the Lord is our security. And I know that these all kind of blend together, but there's some subtle distinctions here. He is our security. Look at verses 7 and 8. The Lord will keep you. That's the same word, watch. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. Everything is covered. He is our security. Now, I know you're looking at that and saying, really? No harm will come to you? Let me give you my understanding of this, and it may not be perfect, but my understanding of this is that, yes, this is true. That there is ultimately no harm that can come to us that is final. Now, there are going to be times when we go through trials and troubles in life and we're going to be hurt. Believers still have car wrecks. We still get sick. So this verse doesn't mean that when we trust in the Lord, we'll be spared from all of that. What it's saying is that when we trust in the Lord, none of those things are ultimately and finally harmful to us, because we know that God is working even in those circumstances to bring about His good purposes for us. You see, Jesus died and rose again. He conquered our worst enemy. Death cannot ultimately harm us, and neither can anything else in this life. And that's why Paul would say that I'm convinced that nothing in this world or in this universe, visible or invisible, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He said in Romans 8:32 that he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? He's got everything covered. Do you see that? He says the Lord will watch over your life, your whole life, your coming and your going, now and in the future. What a wonderfully secure place to reside in the shadow of the Almighty. And so here's what I'm going to ask you to do this morning as we move into this season. First of all, I want to challenge you to look up. To look up. That as you go through this season and you have troubles, let this be a time that encourages you to look up and remember what is true about God. Because it's so easy for us just to get lost in the jungle of our own problems and troubles, and we forget what is ultimately true about God. He is the Lord. He's the maker of heaven and earth. Nothing's too difficult for Him. Look up and then press in. Press in. This is where it's not just here, it's here. This is where you learn to trust God and to surrender it all to Him and to lean on Him and put everything in His hands. Cry out to Him. Whenever that worry or fear comes to your mind, pass it on to the Lord. Press in. And as you do, you're going to find the presence of the Lord in this season. Your holidays can become holy days. Now let's pray. Lord, thank you for the assurance of your protection and your cover for us, that in all our life, our coming and going, both now and forevermore, you are with us. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that your people will cling to your word and look to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a moment, we're going to stand to sing and worship the Lord. But maybe I'm speaking to you today and you realize that you cannot really call the Lord your Lord, because you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ. And so because of that, you cannot lay claim to these wonderful promises. But that can change today. When we stand to worship in the moment, we have friends here at the front. You can come to one of us and say, I need Jesus. I need God. I need Jesus. And if you will come, we'll be happy to help you know the way to Christ.